I seek the fruit that abounds in your lives. Ah, awesome. You know, Paul, when he was writing to the Ephesians there in chapter 20, if you read on, he said, man, I worked with my own hands. I never took a penny. Why? How many pastors will stay in their congregations and get and study and teach on Sundays if they're not getting paid or they don't get a parsonage? Not that it's wrong to get those things. You don't muzzle the ox that treads out the grain. You're supposed to provide for those that are in the ministry. Raul Ruiz had 100 people on staff in his church in Diamond Bar, California. And he said God told him, don't have anyone on staff anymore. It's all volunteer. They almost went bankrupt. About 9 out of 10 people quit. But the 10% that stayed, the church doubled the next year. And you know what? When you're giving out of the love of Christ and recognizing what He did for you, it's a sweet-smelling aroma and an acceptable sacrifice and well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord and Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Wow. Especially the guys that I've been chained to while I've been in prison. Amazing. He didn't have a bitter heart towards the guys. He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ, he says in the epistle to the Ephesians. I, Paul, am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He saw that as where God wanted him to be. And all these Roman guards and Roman leaders and government officials and stuff are all getting saved because Paul has joy and contentment and doesn't worry because he believes in providence that God sees beforehand, and it's all working for good in your lives, Paul. You're being made like Jesus. The gospel is being powerfully moved into the hearts of people because, folks, you don't have to be a Christian to have discernment, to know foolhardiness, to know that people are trying to deceive or they're not telling the truth. But honesty and truth before the Lord and living in abundance, that's the witness that the world's looking for, not hypocrisy. We don't need to compete with the world for the people's attention. You can't win. You're not supposed to anyway. So do we do fads? Nope. I won't say any more about it. Okay, with 2 minutes left. God is more concerned about our eternal state than He is about our present comfort. You believe that this morning? He's more concerned about our eternal state and all the crowns and rewards that He has to give us for eternity than He is about your little discomfort at the moment. He is. And I thank God that He is. And you should too. We all should. We watched a movie Friday night about a guy that went from the 1890s, a seminary professor, in time travel into the year 2000. He was appalled at the church. He was appalled at what Christians have hardened themselves to that's so unholy and wrong that Jesus says this morning, I am the good shepherd. Do you call him your good shepherd? and then say, I'm not happy, I'm not contented, I'm dissatisfied. They're contradictory terms, see? They don't go together. I am the good shepherd. Thou shalt not want. Yeah. In 1 Kings, this is what I'm going to have to let you guys study it on your own. It's a fascinating account. Here's Ahab, king of Israel, the lower 10 tribes. He runs to Samaria to escape from Elijah. You know how Elijah did Mount Carmel and was killing all the prophets of Baal and stuff. And so he's sort of like running from his life and hiding from Elijah, the man of God. You know, he's in Samaria. And then next door to his little palace, of course he's got a palace. He's got servants. He's got people waiting on him. He can have anything he wants at every moment of any day, just with a snap of his finger. And Naboth has a little garden right next door to his palace. And it's 1 Kings 21 and 22 and all up to 2 Kings. But he's got to have that. He grows Jersey tomatoes in that little garden next there, man. You know, the only place in the world. They're the best, you know. At least that's what Tom says. But I'm going to get a truckload of Jersey dirt over here to my house to grow some. I love fresh summer tomatoes, man. They're awesome. Okay, but he goes, I want that garden of yours. I'll trade you one of my gardens for it, or I'll even buy it from you, Naboth. He said, man, the law of Moses, the word of the Lord says, this is my inheritance to my family, to my tribe. It's against the law for me to depart it, to sell it to anybody. It's got to stay in my family. It's the law of the Lord. He gets mad. Runs and pouts. It says he winds up in bed and he can't sleep and he's whining and complaining to his wife Jezebel. I do that. Honey, I hadn't even been fishing yet this spring, and rockfish season's 3 weeks old, and I'm usually out on the first day. Oh, honey, it's okay. Go ahead, go. Oh, man, if you really think about it, we complain a lot. We really do. I really do. But he goes to Jezebel and says, when she asks why he's so miserable, well, Naboth won't sell me his garden. He didn't say. In Leviticus 25, it says, thou shalt not sell your inheritance. You can lease it, but it never is to depart from your tribe, from your family. Didn't tell her that part. Oh, so she calls a council meeting. Gets all the leaders of the community together and says, all right, guys, all come now. And she hires a couple liars to come in and talk bad. It said, Naboth blasphemed the God and blasphemed the king. Go kill him. Go stone him to death. They went and stoned him to death. She comes back to Naboth and says, hey, man, you got your garden. Cool. He's out there in his garden picking his Jersey tomatoes, and Elijah comes up. Elijah's hearing from far off, go to Jezreel and meet Ahab. I've got a word for you to tell him. Elijah comes. Well, Ahab, hey, tell you this, but dogs are going to lick up your blood, and they're going to eat your wife Jezebel. He believes Elijah. Hey, you know. Of course, Ahab and Jezebel institute Baal worship, mammon worship, all over Israel. The worst king and queen ever in the history of Israel. And God had to make a statement. So anyway, Ahab repents. Oh, Lord. He tears his clothes and he throws ashes. Sorry, it's time to close, isn't it? And the Lord looks on that and says, Elijah, I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to let him live his life, but I'm going to fulfill it later on. So 20 years later, Ahab's got the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. They make a pact to go attack Gilead, because it really belongs to Israel, said Assyria. He says, Jehoshaphat, you put on kingly clothes. I'm going to dress like a buffoon so they won't know I'm a king. Let's go out into battle. Of course, you know, the enemy wants to get the king, the ruler, the commander-in-chief. Knock him out, man. The battle's over. Jehoshaphat, you put on the kingly stuff. I'm going to hide. It says that a stray arrow up came out of the air and pierced him right through his armor. He was trying to trick the Syrians into thinking he wasn't a king. And God, providence. Well, the blood poured out of Ahab all over his chariot. And it says that at the end of that day that they buried him and they washed his chariot up and the dogs came and licked up all the blood off the ground where Ahab's blood had been washed out of the chariot. And then later on, Jehu, the new king of Israel, called by God to go destroy all the prophets of Baal. He goes and kills 400 of them, wiping them out all over the land. He goes to, chases Jezebel, says Jezebel in 2 Kings, where is it? So you can make a note of it. Chapter 9, verse 32, she paints her face. She looks real cool to him and says, "Hey, dude." He says, "Is there anybody up there that believes in God?" A couple guys say, "Yes." Throw her down. Threw her down off the tower. Blam. Dies on the ground. End of the day, he says, go bury her. Guys come back and say, "Too late, man. There's nothing left but the palms of her hands and the scalp on her head. The dogs ate everything." Anyway, that's not a good way to end the message, is it? Let me warn you guys. This is the word of the Lord. Be content or you're going to get ate up by dogs. So be content because God's pleased with it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message. And I pray, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that we have a venue, an opportunity here just to present your word. And just to love you, Lord, for what you've done. I'll never be able to outgive you given your only begotten Son. And 100 lives will not be long enough for me to praise you and thank you for that act of itself. But you've gone further. You've put your spirit in my heart. You've given me purpose to live this life. And you promised me a beautiful, beautiful eternity in glory. Amen.